We're in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Our study is called Winning the Battles for Good in a Troubled World by Diana Schick. And today we're in chapter 5, which is the war shield of faith. So far, we've looked at our weapons. One, which was the belt of truth, which is our foundational garment that holds everything else together. The second one was our breastplate of righteousness, which we learned was actually righteous actions. Doing the right thing is always the right thing to do, right? Weapon three was our feet shod with the gospel of peace, and we learned that it was a Roman half boot or sort of like a gladiator sandal, if you can picture that. And it was more for going the distance. It had something like golf spikes on the bottom of the boot or sandal, and it was to take them through rough terrain so that they could have some grip. And it was to go the distance. And we likened that to the miraculous Exodus sandals that God gave the children of Egypt, children of Israel as they got out of Egypt. And we believe they could have been their captor sandals, Egyptian sandals that were beautifully beaded. So they never wore out miraculously somehow or another. So when God gives us something, it's to take us all the way to our promised land. And we can experience our promised land every day because we take our peace with us. So it doesn't matter the terrain, we are well shod, all right? So today we're gonna talk about this shield of faith. And Ephesians 6:16 states, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Now, some of you may have a translation that says, or your faith as a shield. And I actually like that translation better, and I'll tell you why. With which you can extinguish or quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. So first of all, why does it say in all circumstances? Well, newsflash, the devil hates you. He's always after you. Good times or bad times, you got somebody nipping at your heels, all right? So if it's good, we can get puffed up with pride, right? We think it's all about us and we've done such a good job and look how are we great. Okay, so you get it. So always we have our shield of faith, all right? In bad times, what does it do? It keeps us going, it protects us. So all times take up your faith as a shield or shield of faith. Why? Why your faith? Because your faith changes everything. It's like if I had a pair of faith goggles or sunglasses and I put them on, everything I look at is gonna be a different hue. All right, faith is like that. If we always have our shield of faith or our faith as a shield, in all circumstances, everything's always gonna be different. Life is just gonna be different. The world is gonna be different. So the shield he was speaking of was the Roman shield of the time called the scutum. And it was about the size of a small door, and it would entirely cover the soldier. It was at least 4 feet tall and about 2 feet wide. It was quite heavy. So these guys were pretty gnarly just to be able to pick up their weaponry, basically, because their swords were heavy, their shields were heavy, their armor was heavy, like everything about them was. So these guys were burly, and just getting from one place to the other was their workout, right? So they have this big wooden board that's been covered in like a linen and then covered in a leather, and it was red leather so that the enemy could see him coming. And then it had spikes nail heads on it, and some of them would have a pattern. And they could put it together, and it even had these edges that they could lock themselves together. So that when they formed, it was called the tortuga or the tortoise, and it was a way that they would march, and then they could stick their spears out. There was a little hole, they could stick their spear out, but the rest of it was locked together, and they basically formed like a rhinoceros. Like it was front, sides, back, and even top. And they would go down on one knee, and it said it was so strong that chariots and horses could actually ride over it and they would be completely safe. Mm. Oh, wow. And it had, their spears then were out like this. So they were kind of like this rhinoceros porcupine type animal, like armadillo. Yeah, like a tank. And it was almost impenetrable. And it became this amazing symbol, of a traveling Roman fortress. And as they marched together, they were unbeatable. Now, the only problem was for them, it was not quite so mobile once they got there. And then they would have to, you know, but they were side by side and back to back. And that's how they made it. Ladies, we can take such a good lesson from that. First of all, God never intends for us to go it alone. And we are so much stronger in the faith when we stand together. All right. So, side by side and back to back. All right. Taking up our shield of faith, or our faith as a shield, will protect us and extinguish the flaming darts of the enemy that can take so many forms. So because that leather was wet, when the fiery darts of the enemy would come, they would stick in, but they would be extinguished. All right? So what are these fiery darts? A lot of times the enemy would dip them in pitch, set them on fire, light them. All right, so it can take so many forms, and Diana did an excellent job of listing them. So I'm just going to go over them, and she then gave us some beautiful scriptures to help to extinguish those fiery darts. So let's just talk a wee bit about what those are. Well, they're doubts, fears, discouragement, discontentment, right, which I, you know, it's so funny. You don't think of discontentment as a fiery dart, but it absolutely is a fiery dart. Temptations to lie, hate, covet, follow our own lusts for things or sex, various trials of illness, tragedy, persecution, doubting God's truth and his goodness, doubting God's existence, times of being criticized, rejected, hypocrisy in others, when we are tempted to pride, vanity, or self-centeredness, when we have false guilt laid upon us, self-condemnation, low self-esteem, and inadequacy. And those are just to name a few. Just to name a few. I don't know if any of those fiery darts ever come at you, but they sure as heck come at me. So, but just as the Roman soldier knew that standing together was far more effective way to battle the enemy than standing alone, so should we. When the enemy's arrows fly, we should close ranks and ask faithful friends to pray for us. And we should read Holy Scripture out loud to help bolster our faith and to run into the body of Christ, go to church, be among other believers, and praise God. Praise God in spite of your circumstances, in spite of what you're going through. Personally, I also love to run to the Adoration Chapel. I feel a protective, like it's a protective womb inside of there. That helps bolster my faith. These are the tools and gifts that God has given us to shore up our faith and to protect us. God never told us to go it alone. He gives us himself and the body of Christ to come to our aid in our time of need. We need to learn to use them. So today I'd like to call this fencing lessons. All right? So on guard, ladies, on guard. Okay, so what exactly is faith? Hebrews states that faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of the things not seen. Now, I've always found that a little difficult to get my head around, all right? So I like this easy peasy definition a little better, which is faith is a firm belief in God and that what God says is true, and therefore we can rely or trust in him and his holy word, okay? A firm belief in God and that what God says is true, and therefore we can rely or trust in him and his holy word. All right, Hebrews 11:6. I just want to read to you a little bit here from the book of Hebrews, which is such an amazing book. If you've never read it, I highly recommend it. Maybe take this summer to do a little perusal there in Hebrews. But Hebrews 11:6 states this. It says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him, him's God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." All right? Then he goes on to give a little story. He basically started out at the beginning. He started out with Abel, and then he goes on and talks about Abraham, and he talks about Jacob and Sarah, and talks about all these things that they did by faith. And then in verse 13, he says this. These all died. All the patriarchs and matriarchs, they all died, not having received the thing promised. All right? Do you know what the thing promised was? It's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is always the promise of God. I always thought it was Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. All right? But having seen them and greeted them from afar. So by faith, they trusted in God that something better was on its way. All right? And having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on this earth. So they knew they weren't made for this world. They knew they were made for something different. All right, here it is. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. Mm-hmm. All right. Then he goes on to say in 16, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. All right, so they live their life in faith, seeking heaven, seeking a better place. Ladies, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have been talking about this, that we can experience a heavenly homeland even here on earth. And how we do it, God has given us his word through the Apostle Paul here, on how we can experience heaven on earth. And one of the ways is by putting on our full armor of God to get us through. I love one of my all-time favorite quotes. If you've ever heard me speak, I probably said it to you. Winston Churchill, what did he say? If you're going through hell, keep going. If you're going through hell, by all means, don't stop there. Keep going. And that's what our armor does. If we're going through hell, God never promised us that we weren't going to have some trouble. As a matter of fact, he promises us that we will. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart or be of great courage, for I have overcome the world. So this is how we are to live, with a view to heaven, not only in the future, but even now. All right, so all of this, I think, is to give us courage and encouragement. All right, so how then do we have this faith? How do we do this? I think all of us know that a good relationship, any good relationship, is built on trust, right? So how do we learn to trust someone? How do we begin to trust someone? Well, first of all, the person, we're about to hire somebody for a job. And so, first of all, I like to get a recommendation. Isn't that what you like to do? Why do you like a recommendation? Because it says that, well, this person shows up on time. They're reliable. And so you have a vague idea, well, this person could be trustworthy. All right? Then the second thing is, perhaps maybe a mutual friend might even introduce you to someone. And otherwise, the person could be a total stranger. But suddenly, you're simpatico. Why? Because you have a mutual friend in common, right? And if they like you and trust you, then, oh, well, I probably can like you and trust you too. All right, but at some point, if you actually want to really be able to trust someone, you're going to have to personally get to know them, right? To judge for yourself whether this person is really worthy of your trust, of who you would place your faith in, basically. Well, that begs the question then, how do we get to know them? Well, we must spend time with them in some capacity, either through working with them or one-on-one time personally. So these same principles apply if we want to get to know God. All right? If we want to get to know God. All right. So let's think about God. Well, you may have been introduced to him by your parents, right? Parents might have said, or even a friend might have taken you to church. Perhaps he came highly recommended to you, all right? That you've heard great things about him, that your friend really likes him, you know, and he's done great things in their life, all right? And you can think, yeah, okay, that's great. But at some point, you yourself are gonna get to need to know him, all right? Just for yourself, to truly be able to trust him fully, in order to place your life, your daily life, in his very capable hands. And that's what we call faith, all right? You need to know that he is trustworthy. Well, How can we ever take up our faith in him, as a shield, if we doubt him? Because we do not know him. We do not know his word. We do not know that he is trustworthy for ourselves. It is apparent we need to get to know God so that we can learn to trust him in order to place our faith in him and what he has to say in his holy word, which then becomes a shield for us against the enemy's onslaught. So how do we get to know him? Well, we do something called opening the doors of our heart to God. And then we can begin to have what we would call a personal relationship or a personal friendship with God. Now, for many, that sounds great. And you came from a faith background and you're like, absolutely, been there, done that. God and I are tight. Yes, yes, ma'am. But I have learned in my multiple travels and multiple paths to where I am now, that language and vocabulary is not always used in every church setting by every denomination. And so some of you, and I'm not saying all of you, but if you come from a sacramental background, you were taught to get to know God through the sacraments, which is great, and it's good, and it's true, and it's right. But there's also another component to getting to know God. And so I want to read to you what Pope Francis and Pope Benedict has to say about this and this vocabulary. Because historically, it is not how the church spoke about God. They talked about more about the sacraments, all right? But here's what they have to say about having a personal relationship and friendship with God. All right, listen to what Pope Francis says. He says, "But the Lord, who acts far beyond our expectations, wishes to live with us first of all in a relationship of love." In a relationship of love. It is not adding religious practices or observing special precepts. It is welcoming Jesus. It is welcoming him into our lives. Living a story of love with him. How beautiful is that? It's this personal friendship, this personal love relationship. Pope Benedict says, based on this, we have come to believe in God's love. So that's scripture. He says, in these words, the Christian can express the fundamental decision of his life. Being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but the encounter with an event, a person, which gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction. If we let Christ enter fully into our lives, if we open ourselves totally to him, are we not afraid that he might take something away from us, maybe? Are we not perhaps afraid to give up something significant, something unique, something that makes life so beautiful? No. If we let Christ into our lives, we lose nothing. Nothing, absolutely nothing of what makes life free, beautiful, and great. No. Only in this friendship are the doors of life opened wide. Only in this friendship is the great potential of human existence truly revealed. Only in this friendship do we experience beauty and liberation. And so today, with great strength and great conviction, on the basis of a long personal experience of life, I say to you, and this is Pope Benedict before a million young people, all right? He says, do not be afraid of Christ. He takes nothing away and he gives you everything. When we give ourselves to him, we receive 100-fold in return. Yes, open wide the doors to Christ and you will find true life. Amen. So, how do we do what Pope Francis and Pope Benedict spoke about? How do we have an encounter with a person, Christ? How do we open wide the doors of our heart to him to experience this friendship that leads to trust, that allows us to have real faith that we can take up as a shield? Well, we've got to start somewhere. There has to be a starting point in our lives where we make an adult decision that we want a real friendship with God. So I always say there's no time like the present. So let's do it right now. All right, so bow your heads. Let's just throw open wide the doors of our heart to Him, asking Him to come fully into our hearts so we can begin to have that personal love relationship, that friendship with Him. Because if we do not, how can we ever fully trust and place our faith in someone we do not truly know? How can we ever take up our shield of faith in Him if we have no faith in Him? So let's bow our heads right now and do that. So no matter who you are, you can, by God's grace, throw open wider the doors of your heart to ask Him in and ask the Lord to come in today. Maybe for some of you, it'll be the first time. And for others, it may be that you just want a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, because we are leaky vessels. And it's always nice to have the Lord come in a fresh and new way and fill us and revive us and refresh us. All right, so I'm going to say a prayer, and if it expresses the desire of your heart, just quietly echo it in your own heart and mind now. So, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, I am so thankful that You are here. That You are present now. You know me. You see me, you hear me, you love me, and you long to have a relationship with me. I want to say now that I am sorry for the things that I have done that have separated me from you in any way. If anything comes to mind, just say it. I thank you that you died on the cross as a payment for my sins. And I now throw open wide the doors of my heart to you and ask that you would come in to my heart. That you would make my heart your home. Please place a supernatural desire inside of me to want to grow in knowledge and love of you and of your holy word. Knowing that this will help to increase my trust and my faith in you. From right now, I start over with you. We can begin again. We can begin for the first time. Thank you, God, for hearing this prayer. I ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, now, for some of you, that begins a new journey or friendship with Christ, one that I hope and pray will grow and grow as you get to know Him more deeply. And for others, I hope that it will allow you to even go deeper with Christ, starting fresh anew. So, how do we do this? Well, primarily through reading His Word, studying it together, asking good questions, and exploring amazing truths like in your small group today. These are excellent scriptures, which I've said I printed out for you, to help you to get to know God better. Because if we want to know God the Father, Are you ready for this? All we need to do is get to know Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because they're the same substance. They're consubstantial. They are distinct and yet the same. It says the apple didn't fall far from the tree. Actually, the apple didn't even fall from the tree. So if you want to know God the Father, get to know Jesus. All right? And if you love Jesus, you're going to love God. All right. So I love that this is what we were made for. Did you know that's what you were made for, is to get to know God? I love this. Catechism of the Catholic Church, number one paragraph states this: God, infinitely and blessed in himself, in a plan of sheer goodness, freely created man to make him share in his own blessed life. For this reason, at every time and every place, God discloses and draws close to man. And so for this reason, we were created, to get to know God, all right, and to live a blessed life with him. And of course, we get to know him through prayer, where we talk to God and he talks to us when we sit in times of silence. All right, so back to that shield of faith, the shield of faith in God as a our faith in God as a shield, all right? I like to call it the shield of love. The shield of love, right? Mm-hmm. What do you do for someone that you love if they're in danger? You shield them from harm, right? The best you can. So it's a shield of love. And you know, we have to know that God loves us for us to really be able to trust him. And I think I've told you all this story before, but I love it. Because if you just believe that God, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that world is a big place, and it can seem very impersonal, right? But if we know that God loves us personally, then it's much easier for us to place our faith in him, knowing that we get this shield of love from him, from this world. All right, so my friend Lily Fernandez, who was adorable, consecrated, she was pondering the fact that God loved humankind, but she was having a difficult time really nailing down that God loved her personally. So he gave her this vision of her sitting on a beach, and she's not married, she's married to God, right? She's a nun in street clothes, but she always wanted to have like 10 kids. So he said, okay, just picture you're on that beach with your 10 kids, and they're all in the water, and they're playing happily, and you're doing your head count like you do as a mom, and a big wave comes in and washes them out, and you start doing the head count again, and you only get 9. He said, are you gonna wait on the shore for another wave to come so you can say, well, it's not really worth my time just to jump in to save one? No. You're going to fly out there as fast as you can to save the one. That's how God feels about us. If you were the only person that he needed to die for, he would have died for you. It's a personal, that kind of love, parent kind of love, right? So she got it. So our love shield we have as well. And when we're washed out to sea by the enemy and his schemes, we can place our trust in that God, the God that rescues us. And we can take him at his word. So we can take him at his word that all things will work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That is the shield of faith that we can crawl under, knowing that God will take whatever it is that we're going through, and he will use it for our good, all right? What Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. He is our shield. God is our loving shield, and that we can place our trust and faith in. All right, so you may say, but I don't really have that much faith. I just prayed that prayer. All right, it doesn't matter. It's okay, because when God comes into our hearts, at baptism, or in many denominations, to believe that you can pray, and it's we would call it baptism by desire, that when he comes into your heart, guess what he brings? The goodies. So he brings all the goodies, and three of those goodies are faith, hope, and love. All right? They're infused into our soul, faith, hope, and love. And you know what Jesus says about how much faith it takes to move a mountain?
Mustard seed.
So you know what I think he does? I think he plants those mustard seeds of faith, hope, and love in our heart. And then as we place ourselves, you know, we till our soil by reading His word and going to meet together and hearing the word preached and praying. That's like tending our garden, our mustard seeds. And then they blossom and they grow, right? So we don't, God already put inside of us what we need to have. So thanks be to God. He's provided. If He asks for it, then He's provided it, all right? So it only takes the tiniest amount of faith. Why? Because it's not so much the amount of faith that we have that's important. It's what we place it in. It's what we place it in, all right? It's like this. 1 + 0 = 1, right? 1 + 1,000 = 1,001, but 1 + infinity = infinity. Guess what God is? He's infinity. So when we place our tiny mustard seed of faith in Him, we get infinity. Isn't that awesome? He's our infinity God. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all things are possible with Him. He is our infinity God. If we place even our tiniest mustard seed of faith in Him, all things are possible. He cannot resist our acts of faith. He will give us the grace we need to get through whatever it is that we have to get through. But we must stand firm, or I'm going to say, in my case, oftentimes, I call it crawling firm under the shield of faith. Maybe some of you are far more heroic and warriors than I am. But oftentimes, I feel like all I can do is curl up in a ball and crawl under my shield of faith. And guess what? That's okay. That's good enough. All right, some of you have heard my stories about the fire, but there was one day that it wasn't too long after the fire, and I was dealing with literally truckloads, an entire houseload of burned, utterly destroyed, soggy, blackened, terribly smelling things in my home. And we had gotten some very bad news that day from the insurance company. We weren't sure if we were going to actually be able to afford the rental that we were in, nor did we know if we could get this extended lease. The criminal hearing was that week, and we had some very upsetting news about it, and I was feeling utterly overwhelmed. And I was about at one of the lowest points in my life, and so I cried out to the Lord, and I believe just that ability to cry out to the Lord is your shield of faith. If you know to cry out to the Lord, then you have faith in the Lord. And how much did we say it takes? A mustard seed. So your little birdie peep, help, is a cry to the mother bird to feed you, to help cover you. It just takes a peep, ladies. All right, so I cried out. And that little supernatural seed of faith, because it's a supernatural seed, right, that's planted in the infinity soil of God. And it becomes something so much bigger than what we give, like loaves and fishes, right? God takes our little bitty things and He multiplies them for our good. All right, so it's enough. And even though I knew in my head that God would bring good from what was happening and that I could trust Him, I was feeling so low at the time. And I said to God, God, don't you care? Don't you care about where I am right now? I feel like I'm drowning in a sea of bad news and fear and despair and sorrow. And then He gave me the funniest picture. And I've told you all this, but it is so worth repeating because it was so funny. God often works in humor when you're at your worst. And it was a Tinkerbell and the Peter Pan Disney version of the movie. And Peter Pan was shaking her upside down and all the fairy dust was coming off of her, the golden glitter was coming off of her, and anything it touched rose. Do you remember that scene? It rose, the children rose, the dog rose, everything rose. And the Lord said, don't forget about the glitter of my grace. Don't forget about the glitter of my grace. You are covered in it, and your soul is infused in it. ladies, I think what happens is when we get our eyes on our earthly circumstances, we forget about the glitter of God's grace. But thanks be to God, all we have to do is send up a peep, a cry for help, and God comes to our rescue, all right? He has heaven come down to earth. And so I was able then to raise up my eyes to the mountains from whence my help comes. My help is in the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And then I was able to hide under that glittery shield of grace. But it wasn't just a glitter shield. I felt like it was an exoskeleton of glitter. I felt like I had on a glittery golden armor. And I was able to get through it. So, if you are feeling strong like a warrior, that's God's grace. And I pray you take up your war shield and you fight and you pray for those who are crawling under the shield. Pray for others. If you're feeling like I was, not like a mighty warrior of faith, but more like a wounded warrior on the battlefield, then you cry out for help to God and ask him to be your shield of love to cover you in a glittery coating of his grace to keep you safe. And look up and praise him. Praise him, even in your sorrow, because a little or a lot of faith is enough. With our infinitely powerful, kind, merciful, and loving God, who covers us all with his grace, so we can stand or hunker firm underneath this shield, which is him. So let's pray and ask God to fan into flame whatever size faith you have in him. And if you're doubting or under attack, let's reach out to faithful friends and ask them for prayer. Form the tortoise, ladies. Or come up to me afterwards, and I'll be happy to pray for you. Because together, us and God, we're unbeatable. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Lord, shower us now with a glitter shield of grace. Let us know that you are God, and we are not. But in you we place our faith, our hope, our trust. Help us to fall more and more and more in love with you, which will increase our capacity to know and love you more, to trust you more, so that we can always, in all circumstances, take up our faith in you as a shield. Fan our faith into flame, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray this. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. And look who's here. It is our own Heidi Scanlon, who we have been covering in prayer.